As we get started today, I'd like to start us off in Galatians chapter 4. So if you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 4, there's a verse here that always comes to mind when I think about the Lord's coming and the timing of it all, when the Lord did this to the world that he created. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says very simply but powerfully here, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And it talks about that more, but the thing that really hits me is when the fullness of the time had come. You know, the Old Testament ended with Israel waiting for the coming Messiah. There was a period of 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. And those years are called the 400 years of silence, or the 400 silent years. That's because after the message of the prophet Malachi at the end of the Old Testament, the Lord did not communicate with the nation of Israel for the next 400 years. That's a long time. And during that time, they were in a period of waiting. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. So the time passed and certain things had to happen before the world would be ready to see the coming day of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But once everything was in place that was needed, that is, as it says here, when the fullness of the time had come, it was then that God sent forth his Son to come into this world from heaven. And the Lord tells us that he was going to send his Son into this world by having him to be born of a woman. So we want to take a closer look at that idea of being born of a woman. So how did that happen? Look back to Matthew chapter 1 with me. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord tells us here that Mary was only betrothed to Joseph, and yet she was with child, which means that she was pregnant. I know that we don't hear that terminology anymore about a lady being with child. I remember hearing that said when I was a kid, but nowadays they don't want to use that phrase because they don't want the young ladies to think that it's actually their child that they are killing when they're having an abortion. But thankfully, the Bible declares the truth, and it boldly says that Mary was with child. And some special child it was, because it was the Son of God. Now, the betrothal period back then was somewhat similar to what we would call engagement in our culture. So during that time period, they were not to consummate the marriage until after the official marriage ceremony. And Mary and Joseph had not been through the marriage ceremony yet. So if Mary were pregnant at that point, then it would naturally be assumed that she either had a sexual relationship with Joseph before she should have, or that she had an illicit sexual relationship with some other man. And that would be considered adultery. Well, Joseph knew that he had not had relations with Mary, so he then concluded that she was unfaithful to him and had relations with another man. Sorry, guys, I apologize. So based on his conclusions, Joseph was going to make plans for how he was going to handle the situation as discreetly as possible. And we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. But for now, let's take a look at the details about how Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. As the scriptures say, Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So to see that part of the story, let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and we'll come back to Matthew in a little bit here. But Luke chapter 1, looking down to verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And then it says in verse 29, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." I'm sure she was kind of shocked by this, you know, as all of a sudden this angel comes into her presence. And the first words the angel said are, "Rejoice." I don't know that that would be the first thought you'd have when some angelic being appears in front of you, but this is the message the angel brought. And it was a message that Mary should be rejoicing over this whole event that's about to happen. And she doesn't have any idea what's coming here. But notice what the angel said, "Rejoice, highly favored one." And she was highly favored by the Lord. The Lord had a special plan for her life. She was going to be a unique human being in what she was going to accomplish for the Lord. So the highly favored one, and he says this, the most amazing thing for her to be encouraged with, "The Lord is with you." Well, that's a blessing. And it says, "Blessed are you among women." So she is unique. She's going to have a special opportunity to bring the Messiah into this world. It says, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was." Verse 30, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So again, it's reinforced here that you've got favor with the Lord. There's not a problem here with me coming. This is to bring good news. This is to let you know that you found favor with God and he wants to use your life in a very special way. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." My goodness, I'd love to see Mary's face at this point as she's possibly realizing that she's being told, "You're going to have the Messiah in your womb, and you're going to bring him into this world, and he's going to have the most amazing things happen in the future here because of who he is, and he was going to actually receive the throne of David." And that's an astounding thing to a Jewish person who understands the Old Testament, and they know what an amazing honor that would be. So verse 33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So the son you're going to have is going to have a kingdom that will never end. He's going to be king forever. Verse 34, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" So this again agrees with the statement that she was a virgin. She said, "I have had no relations with a man, and I don't know under..." And I'm sure in her mind she's thinking, "I don't understand any other way to have a child than to have these relations." So she's asking that question, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So this is the explanation of how Mary became pregnant with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and the Highest will overshadow her. Now, what does that all mean? I'm not sure, other than somehow the Holy Spirit put this child inside of her womb. And Jesus is going to be born, and this is why he would be called truly the Son of God. His birth had deity involved in how that was going to happen. Verse 36, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And this is something I'm sure Mary had to really chew on for a second here, at least, to think, wow, my my cousin who's been barren for all these years and is way past the time of having a child, she's now having a child. And that was to be an encouragement to Mary to know that even though you haven't had relations, you're going to have a child also. And the whole gist of this is, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And man, that's something we need to keep in our mind, guys, because even as we go through daily struggles maybe at this time, and this has been a very strange and hard year, you know, nothing is impossible with our God. Our country, even though it's got all this crazy stuff going on, God is much more powerful than our little country. He's much more powerful than this world. He keeps everything going in the entire universe. That's why we know at night it's going to get dark, the stars will be able to be seen, and you know, the next morning the sun will come up again. Our God, it says here, for him nothing will be impossible. Verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." And she's saying, "Behold, I'm your servant. I'm the servant of the Lord." So she says, let it be to me according to your word. So she's saying, if this is God's plan for my life, then I'll accept that plan. And the angel departed from her. So now Mary, excuse me, the Lord gives us the details here of how this happened. And Mary was told she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. And the Lord lets us see the amazing obedience of Mary. It was amazing because she was trusting God to work in her life in a supernatural way. But by her accepting this unique situation from the Lord, it was going to cause her to be looked down upon by people in the community for years to come. It was going to cost her a lot to accept the Lord's will for her life. Well, let's go back to our passage in Matthew 1. I want us to see how the Lord revealed his plan to Joseph about how the Lord was going to bring his son Jesus into this world. So back in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and by husband it means that she's betrothed to him. They have not had their marriage ceremony yet, but that's how serious the commitment was for the betrothal period. So it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, because again, in his mind, he's thinking she must have had relations with someone, and it wasn't me. So he's thinking, I want to take care of the situation in my own life. I want to remain a just man, doing things that are right and honorable in the eyes of the Lord. But he didn't want to make Mary a public example. He wanted to work things out so that wouldn't happen. So it says here, he was minded to put her away secretly. So he was going to secretly have a divorce written up and have her set apart from him and break that betrothal period. So that was the best plan that he could come up with. That was the plan of Joseph. Then in verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I don't know what to think of this, but Mary had the angel appear to her face to face, it sounds like, but Joseph, he needed it in a dream. I don't know if he freaked out too much or what, but somehow when the Lord came to him, he came in a dream. So the angel came and said, Joseph, son of David. So Joseph was of the line of David, which was necessary for the Messiah to come into the world. That's why it keeps bringing that up, that even Joseph, being the stepfather, he was in the line of David here. So, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. And this was a concern. He was thinking about it when he apparently fell asleep that night and trying to figure out how I'm going to take care of this, what I'm going to do. So, it says, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. And here's the reason. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So, this is a confirmation. The Lord confirms here that Mary's conception really was a miracle of the Holy Spirit, and it was told to Joseph the same way. So verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And here's the reason for that name. For he will save his people from their sins. And that's what the name Jesus means. It means God saves. In our language, that's what it's a reference to. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to save his people, God's people, from their sins. So God reveals here the future mission of the baby Jesus. So Joseph had his plan, and he thought that that was the best he could do, but the Lord revealed his plan to Joseph, and Joseph realized that his situation now was a much greater opportunity to serve the Lord than he could ever imagine. So here's Joseph with a super huge problem on his lap, thinking, what am I going to do about this situation? And then the Lord reveals to him, this is God's plan that's working out in your life. So don't ever sell the Lord short with his plans for your life. Just because you can't see anything further in your life, maybe you need to talk to the Lord. He's got plans that we couldn't even imagine. So don't settle for less than God's plan for your life. You know, it may have been like our life on the day before we heard about Jesus and the day we got saved. At that time, we might have been living our life according to our plan and figuring that it was the best we could possibly do. But then when the Lord got the news to us about Jesus, the good news about what Jesus did to save us, then that changed our life too. If at that time we surrendered our life to Jesus and we allowed him to take over our entire life, then things started to unfold that we had never planned on. And I've come to find out that if you will get out of the driver's seat and then allow the Lord to take over the steering wheel in your life, then you will not always know which way the Lord is going to take you, but it will sure be an exciting ride, and we know that. Now, the writer of the Gospel, Matthew here, he's going to tell us an extremely important piece of information about the story in verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, this is God's plan for a long time. He'd already prophesied in the Old Testament that there would be a virgin, and she was going to actually bear have a child. And that doesn't make sense to man to think, how could that happen? You can't be a virgin and have a child. That's just not the way it works. So this event that happened to Joseph and Mary was actually to fulfill a prophecy of the Lord. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, so he had the dream, the Lord spoke to him, now he's waking up. Being aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So here we see the complete obedience of Joseph. He was willing to be the stepfather of Jesus, and he took Mary to be his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until after Jesus was born. So it did happen that Mary was still a virgin when Jesus was born. That prophecy was fulfilled exactly. So one of the lessons we learn from Joseph and Mary's story is that it takes a humbleness, and along with that, it takes an obedient heart to follow the Lord's will for your life. There's one more thing that we want to see and be reminded of when it comes to Christmas. So if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, that's where we're headed. You see, at Christmas time especially, that should be a time when true Christians have a focus on others, because that's what Jesus did for us. When he came down to this earth, he was focusing on others. So especially at this time of year, we should be others-minded. And we learn that extremely important lesson from Jesus himself. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, we'll see this, starting in verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, because if we're thinking of others, we can't be selfish at the same time. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Now, here's how Jesus showed us this in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And I like the translation better that says that he didn't see it was something that he had to hold on to, being with God. You know, he's in heaven before he came down to this earth. And he didn't see that as something that he needed to hold on to be in that position, you know, being God. But he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in heaven. He made the decision to let go and to come down here for us. So in verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. So here he is, God Almighty, creator of the universe, sustainer of the universe, and the one who holds eternity, right? But he made himself of no reputation. And explains that further, taking the form of a bondservant. This is speaking of a lowly servant, and coming in the likeness of men. Here he is, God, and he makes the choice to humble himself and come down and come in the form of a man. Okay? And it's like someone said, it wasn't that Jesus gave anything up to come here, he added something to himself. He's already God. Now he is becoming a man. So he's already God, still God, didn't change. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation says that verse, but it talks about him going to die the death of a criminal. And that was the death of the cross. That's how a criminal died. So look at that in that sense. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, even a criminal's death. So he gave up his position in heaven, the comforts that he enjoyed there. And this is all a picture of God's love. So here's what we see when we think about Jesus leaving heaven and humbling himself to come down here that he might save us. It was an others-minded thing he did. And here's the thing that the Lord really impressed on me as I was thinking on this here, and the Lord was even leading me further than I was going with it. But the question here of God's love is how far he was willing to go and how low he was willing to stoop in order to save us. For us, it was others-minded. So the question we ask about our love, if you want to know how much you love someone, then you have to ask yourself, how far are you willing to go and how low are you willing to stoop to serve that person? That's the love of God. Now, if anybody that's watching doesn't know Jesus, then I would invite you to come to Jesus right now. Jesus came to this earth to die for your sins. When he died on the cross, he was paying the penalty for your sins. But he didn't stay in the grave. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just like the scripture said that he would do. Because of what he did for you, you need to receive Jesus into your life. By doing that, you can experience the forgiveness of all of your sins, and then you'll be given eternal life with him. The Bible explains all this in great detail. So you can start reading in the New Testament, I'd suggest, at the Gospel of John, and then just keep reading on from there. My prayer for you is that you will truly find Jesus this Christmas and start a new life with him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word of truth, as you have kept it solid through all the ages, and you've brought this message to us about Jesus. Father, I thank you for the great love that you had, that you were willing to go so far and willing to stoop so low as to allow your own son to come to this earth and mingle among sinful people, and then be willing to humble himself even further and take our sins upon himself, even though he was perfectly sinless on his own. that he is willing to die on the cross to pay for our sins completely. And we can't even understand how horrible that must have been from his perspective. But we thank you, Father, that he was raised from the dead. You accepted his sacrifice. And Lord, what an amazing plan of salvation you have. And we are so grateful to know that. And thank you for allowing us to have this time in the year to stop and just be thankful for the coming of Christ and celebrate the idea that he was willing to come as a baby and to grow in this world among us and then to be our sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done and all the love you have shown us. And we look forward to the day where we can be with you forever and for all eternity, Lord. We thank you for how far you were willing to go and how low you were willing to stoop. Please, Lord, give us that same heart to follow you. We give you back all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.